One and we're live. Assalamualaikum, everybody. Today we got a special guest in the building. We got our brother Hamid Sharif. This guy is—he's a visionary man. He has a vision. Anique Apparel, yep. Going crazy. Like honestly, one of the craziest things I've seen in my life, man. When it comes to just fashion in general, like this guy revolutionized it though, man. And it's just like. It's such a pleasure to speak to you. And how have you been, man?
Alhamdulillah, bro. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Zain. I'm honored to be here on your show. And I appreciate those kind words, mashallah. May Allah bless you. And it's a blessing, you know, we're here. We're taking it one day at a time.
Oh, no, for sure. It must be busy right now, man. You got the sales going. I get the text from the sales and like,
I love it. we wanted to like do something special for, you know, people who supporting us and things of that nature. So we came up with the idea, like just doing weekly sales on Fridays. You know what I mean? It's Yom al-Jum'ah. Just that, you know, that just in a good spirit. You know what I mean? A lot of people may want to purchase our those, but you know, the price point may be a little bit out of, you know, the range, but like, so we're like, okay, we're going to give everybody an opportunity, 2-hour window, 3-hour window, just as a token of our appreciation and your support.
Oh, that's respect because, you know, man, I'm a college student. I look at those prices. I'm like, geez, man. But yeah. Then it makes sense too, because it's high end, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, it's high end. And even more so than that, brother, honestly, it's a representation of what we think our efforts, you know, cause, and that's what anything, you know, any type of business, people will put in their blood, sweat and tears in it, or we may not know their journey up until that point, you know, all of the trials they had to go through, all of the sacrifice and struggles they had to go through and the hours that it may require to sit there and come up with a solution for the market. You see what I'm saying? So all businesses, they're a solution for a specific problem in a specific niche. And it took an individual or a group of individuals to sit down for hours, weeks, months, years to plan and put something together to solve that problem. And they're like, you know, I think I want to get X amount per product. So it's so as a customer, it's like, I appreciate you taking 5 years out of your life to research this problem and come up with a solution. And like, boom, yeah, you deserve X amount of dollars.
No, 100%, man. No, I totally get it. I'm just playing with you. But for like the design of those thobes are ridiculous because it's like, you know, what I love is when somebody takes opportunity of something that nobody ever thought could be revolutionized. So for example, Ramadan's coming up, you know, we go for prayers at the masjid, we go for tarawih, and you look around, everybody got a thobe, but in reality, some people's thobes are cooler than others. And those are the guys that's like, oh, I got this thobe, and they get the comments, but nobody thinks to, you know, like do what you're doing with it. Like I see kind of designs where some got the stripes, like it's a button down shirt. Like, you know, some got, I'm like, oh my God, colors I never seen before, to be honest. Yeah. They're crazy. So tell me, like, how did that all start?
It goes back to like my adolescent years, bro. Like, cause I spent a lot of years in like the Middle East. So let me say Saudi Arabia in particular, cause that's where like the thobe is very common there. And that's when I fell in love with thobes in general. And when the Eid time came around, everybody would go to like these thobe shops and then get select, pick out fabrics and get tailor-made thobes for the Eid. I just thought that was really cool because I was already into clothes myself. So, but the common color that people would pick is obviously, you know, white or off-white and cream because it's so hot over there. It wouldn't even be normal to get like darker colors or brighter colors. So, but over time, like I was that person that just went, okay, I'm like, okay, let me just incorporate my personal taste with this experience. So that's where the different colors came from, like, you know, blue or green, red, and things of that nature. And then to another extent, you know, even within Saudi itself, they have different regions, and you can tell by how people dress. So when I started to visit cities like Jeddah, this is just like one, like the economic capital. I noticed a more modern look with the thobes. Like I started to see people with thobes and zippers and different colors and things of that nature. I'm like, oh wow! So you got that freedom. Like people are already on this type of movement, and so that's where the idea came from. I'm like, okay, let me just take what's a traditional garment, and people are already kind of like making it a bit modern, and just add my own twist to it, adding the colors that I like personally, or different styles of, like you said, dress shirt, like shirts, just like my American background influence into the thobe.
Mm. And what made you want to start designing thobes, or just designing in general?
Honestly, I would say back in 2017. It wasn't like I grew up saying like I wanted to be a fashion designer or anything like that. Like that wasn't my plan. It was just like I liked clothes and whatever the case was. But as I started to grow older, you know, you come to a crossroad where it's like you're figuring out how you want to make a livelihood for yourself. You want to make a balance between your professional life or your career and things of that nature. And I just started to instinctively, like, you know, compel myself to think outside the box. Like, what can I do to create, you know, an income to be able to sustain myself and my family? And I just started to think of the things that I had an advantage in the place that I was in the place I was located. So in America, like we're discussing, it wasn't a norm with to have a variety of design options when it comes to those. So I'm like, if I can bring that aspect of, you know, my experience in the Middle East to America, I could have a huge advantage. So that's when I'm like, okay, yeah, just let me just start thinking and then coming up with creative ideas. So with that, in addition to seeing how the trend was already going in Saudi, I added the two together, and then that's when I just started to play with the designs and just, you know, put in hours and hours and hours to like get to this point.
And So like that, you said back in 2017, and it's already like I'm seeing Anique Apparel honestly everywhere, because when you're a Muslim on Instagram, you get those Anique Apparel pop-ups, you know what I mean? But it's like, behind every one of these stories, or behind every one of these success stories, there's grind associated with it, right? Like the grind that you had to go through and the struggle that you had to put in to actually get it to where it is right now, and inshallah get it to, you know, where it's going to be crazy in the future. So when you back in that era of 2017, when you were just starting out, like what else were you doing during that time that you were kind of managing the time to do this?
Honestly, at that time, I was like a full-time student in university. It's crazy because I whatever I set my mind to, I have to figure it out. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just had, like, if that means I have to go to sleep a little later, that's what I have to do. If I have to get up a little earlier, that's what I have to do. But every task has to be completed. You know, I don't set a time on the task. The time for the task is dependent on how long it takes the task to do. So yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna 100%. Say I'm gonna do 1 hour to do my homework. If a 1 hour can go by, but I'm not done my homework. You know what I'm saying? So no, I gotta review this. If it takes 2 hours, that's what it takes. And so it's just that level of commitment to, you know, excellency and mastery and whatever it is that you're seeking to do. And that's something that stems from Islam in general. So it's just applying that. So I was really just balancing between school and setting the foundations for a startup company.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, the religion teaches us discipline. Discipline is such a big theme in our religion, and it's pushed so hard, which makes us grind the way we do. And I feel you on that, because, you know, I'm also a student right now, and with this podcast and everything, looking back to when I started like 6 months ago, man, I made so many mistakes, And then you learn, and then you look back 6 months ago, and I'm sure the same for you. You look back and you're like, what was I thinking?
What was I thinking? Man, you're doing good for just being this early in the game, mashallah,
appreciate it.
Like, honestly, like, I do look back and you're like, man, like, I was so unaware. I was so uninformed about a particular thing or unexperienced. But in hindsight, like, it's what makes you what you are. You know what I mean? It's building stones. It's necessary experiences that you learn from, and you take it and you move on and you grow. But definitely, you know, you look back on those experiences and you just get a laugh at it. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You look back, it's like, not only was did I waste my money, but my time.
Yeah.
And those two are not things you want to be wasting.
Yep.
But, you know, being a Muslim entrepreneur, or I feel like it's rare nowadays, especially in the States. Are you in the U.S. right now?
I am. I'm in Philly right now.
Yeah, Philly. So it's like the way, I don't know if it's a cultural thing or if it's just, you know, a lot of Muslims in the U.S. are obviously immigrants. And when they come here, they have to make it. Like, there's no question about it. Like, they have to make money. But I was talking to one of my friends about this the other day. It's like, they're kids, right? Our generation, maybe a little bit older than me, but our generation, we almost fall into that middle cycle trap, or that middle class cycle, which is a trap, because it's like, okay, our parents might have been middle class, or, you know, just barely made it or whatever it is, but we don't have that freedom to go and be an entrepreneur or do what we love. In reality, it's so important for not just us, right, or our kids and grandkids, inshallah, but the Muslim generation itself. Like, if we have representation in all of these different categories, then man, we'll be on top, inshallah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, I totally agree with you. You know, like, these are things that I've been doing a lot of research on. I've been invested in it, reading, watching videos and listening to different podcasts about that. And it's just the idea of business in Islam. It's a central part of what played a role in the establishment of Islam in the beginning. You know what I mean? Because you had the companions around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wealthy companions who were able to fund movements, you know what I mean, that played integral roles in the establishment of the religion. You know, if you're talking about just food for the needy, or transportation for certain missions that they had to go on, or the building of the masjid. So different things of that nature. Like, if had it not been for Allah first and foremost, but then individuals who invested their youth to learn business and get into trade and then build wealth over a period of time, it would have been hard to sustain the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as young Muslims in America right now, this generation, or just in general, we do need a group of people, you know, who wants to take the path of studying medicine, for example, or engineering, or IT, psychology, and these different things. But then we also need people who are going to dedicate their youth and their resources to learning business. Because it is a thing where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that 9/10 of a person's risk is in business. There is no cap into how much you can make when you're in business, you know. Mm-hmm. And Allah says that He has made business and trading permissible, and He has forbidden usury and riba. So it's, and the just the trajectory of the way the world is going right now is showing that, you know, you can really be successful without necessarily having a college degree, which as immigrants, that pressure is, you know, immense on us from our parents and the society and stuff like that. But it's like, if you have enough passion and enough dedication to a specific trade for a long period of time, you can really become successful in that.
Yeah, you just got to apply yourself. But when you're in your youth in particular, it's like, that's that buffer where you don't have a family, right? If you know, your business goes face down, or whoever you're working for, the risk that you're taking turns out to be, you know, not what you thought. Well, you're
young. Back.
Exactly. So this is the time where we can experiment, you know?
It's really the time, man.
Yeah, man. It's like, they say, they say that everybody has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only live once. You know what I mean?
And bro, like, man, I reached that point where it's like, you know, like I'm like, yo, I'm young. You know, I don't have so many dependents right now. Like, this is it. Like, what motivates me the most is regret. Like, I don't want to turn 50 and 60 and be like, what if I would have chased my dream? Or what if I would have did this? Or what if I would have did that? Like, it's so, I'm in a constant mindset of like, produce every day, take advantage of each day, take advantage of each hour as much as you can. And then you look back and you're like, wow, alhamdulillah, I did this, I did this. And it's even amazing because sometimes, even in the next life, the righteous people, when inshallah, when we receive certain rewards and certain stations in Jannah, we would wish we would have did more so we could have higher stations. So what about the people who didn't even exert as much as energy? You know what I mean? So I get motivated by like regret or like the idea of like, oh, the feeling that I felt like I didn't put in enough.
Yeah, exactly. Working for yourself is so important, man. It's so important. Like, you kind of become, again, stuck in that cycle where you're not fully comfortable, even though you could be making six figures, right? But not everybody needs to be making six figures. Like, personally, I would take five figures over and doing what I love over six figures and just like, man, rinse and repeat. You know, it's like you got to capitalize on these opportunities when you're young, you know?
Self-awareness, bro. Really, self-awareness and the idea of contentment, you know? It's like, even though we're talking about business and working for yourself and things of that nature, you could take all of those steps, but then still Allah is decreed that you only make five figures. So will you be content or will you be unsatisfied and greedy or whatever the case is? So the idea is you make the effort, you take the necessary means and you make the sacrifices. But at the end of the day, whatever is meant for you and whatever is presented to you, you have to be satisfied and accept it and be content. And that's where you'll truly be happy and liberated and have a peace of mind.
Yeah, no. And you know, you say struggle, but in reality, struggle doesn't really need to be there. This is what I mean by that. So as young Muslims, this generation of Muslims, parents coming from overseas, there's this kind of unwritten rule that you have to be one of the doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know, computer science guys, and only that. So it's like nothing else is really encouraged because it's like, man, just focus on this and then you're going to make it. But if I always said, like, if let's say every young Muslim started a blog or a podcast or like some forum or something like that, that they always add to their thoughts, their, you know, beliefs, opinions. I think 20 years from now, Muslims would be in a different place. Honestly, if we all just put a piece of ourselves out there, you know?
Yeah, it forces people to, because before you even can put out your thoughts, you have to have an opinion. You see what I'm saying? So it forces you to educate yourself. You know what I'm saying? Cause like, what are you going to put out there? So, back in the, you know, the golden age which basically you're alluding to when Islam was at the top, everybody was skilled in certain arts, you know what I'm saying? Different sciences, medicine, psychology, poetry, psychology, logic, you know, they studied books and they were skilled in these areas so they can put out treatises, they can write out letters and things of that nature. But if we're not, you know, educating ourselves on whatever it is, you know, and as it relates to our time too, it's like, what will we put out there? So as young Muslims, we have to go back to the tradition. We have to go back to aspiring to be qualified, aspiring to be learned, and then putting it out to the world. You see what I'm saying? In those different areas. You know what I'm saying? So you might have one person, like, I may be intrigued by business and I'm writing articles on business, and then somebody can write something about, you know, social justice, and somebody's writing something about like just like mental health and psychology, and you know, to the end, and you know, as a etc.
So yeah,
educating ourselves, making ourselves aware of the world, the condition of the world and what's really going on, and then putting out educated statements around those topics.
Representation. That's exactly what it is. Like, you look back at the Ottoman Empire, man, it's all representation, and we were everywhere. But this needs to come back. And, you know, they say that the generation that we need to, I guess, try to fix or try to change is not the current generation, it's the next generation.
Yes.
So the kids that are like even younger than us, I mean, I don't even know if our generation could change right now, but the next generation, that's the one that can change, because then we can instill our values into that and what we've learned from being, you know, first generation, you know, kids of immigrants and everything. So that's what's important. That's progressive thinking.
That's deep. That's deep, because it's easier to change. You know, it's easier to have the influence on the younger ones. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We're stuck in our ways already, man. We're old. We're old already, man.
Crazy, man.
Inshallah. But I mean, as an entrepreneur, what are your fundamental rules as to how to make it or how to be somewhat successful, or at least just put yourself in the conversation of being one of those guys?
I definitely think, you know, for me, spirituality, attachment to, I'll just say Allah, because we're Muslim, plays a big role in, you know, just developing a proper mentality and a proper lifestyle. You know what I mean? In the business world. So understanding, like, just like I was saying, understanding that there's a balance between, understanding that there's a balance between what you're meant to have being already written, but then at the same time going out and making an effort to get it. You see what I'm saying? Like, where the Prophet said that if we were to depend on Allah the way that a bird depends on Allah, it leaves its nest in the morning with an empty stomach and it comes back full. You see what I'm saying? And people don't really realize, like, okay, the depth of the meaning of the hadith is that the bird, he went out unaware, like, okay, am I going to find something to eat? But he comes back with an empty stomach, but the bird actually left the nest. He went out. That was him. That was the bird taking the means. So it's like, you can't sit back and say, you know, Allah is the most merciful. He's all provider, and just sit in your house. No, it's understanding, like, yes, he's the merciful. Yes, he's the provider. But I got to write this business plan. I got to go out. I got to travel. I got to make these connections. I got to put the plan together. And it is through that that my risk will come. And so definitely spirituality. And then it stemming from that as well is the ethics that you get from it, you know, being honest, you know what I'm saying? Being honest in your dealings, providing high quality, you know, keeping your promise and things of that nature. And then discipline, persistence, you know, being relentless, patience, you know what I mean? You listen to some of the stories of the companions, of the prophets that came before us. It was just a life of toil, to the point that you would think that, when does it ever get easy? When does the victory come? When is the breakthrough? And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this, you know, that, man, mata nasrullah, when is the help of Allah? Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb, that the nasr of Allah is near. Prophet Yunus and his son Yusuf being separated from his son for such a long time, and Allah telling him to be patient. These are years of separation, years of sadness and sorrow. And then it's like, in the end, Allah brings his victory and his help. So I draw a lot of inspiration with patience with that. Sometimes you're working so hard on a project, you're working so hard on all these different things, and you're like, man, when is the breakthrough coming? When is it that? When is it this? And then, you know, you read, you come across those surahs, and then your heart is at ease. Like, man, like, I'm not better than those prophets, and they had these type of experiences, you know, like, let me just be patient. Let me just be patient. So patience and this hard work. So those are just a few.
Yeah. And the patience, and the other point that you said, it was the second one about, you know, being honest. those go hand in hand, because when it starts getting tough, that's when you see people breaking, right? Like they start kind of selling out, becoming corrupt, becoming dishonest. But what it's like, what a lot of people fail to realize is that you have to play the long game. And if somebody like you, right? Somebody who can be a role model to the youth, you know what I mean? Like, mashallah, somebody who could really inspire people, like you inspired me. And, alhamdulillah, and that's what longevity is. Because even if your sales go down, you know, something like that happens, at the end of the day, we're going to support you. So some people just support the product, and that's what these guys are focused on, but they need to support you too. And it's like, look, if there's a young Muslim that always wanted to do fashion but never really got the support from their parents or whatever, at least they got somebody to look at, like, yo, this guy made it, and this is like somebody I look up to. Exactly. But there's none of that. You know what I mean? But it's, you got to be that guy, man.
It's so crazy that you say that, because I mean, like, because I'm pretty in tune with the, you know, the community and what's going on with the younger generation. And I see that a lot of people, you know, a lot of young people, you know, we kind of like, it's hard to find that role model of you. So we look at rappers and celebrities and athletes and things of that nature. And I see that they kind of got it all messed up. Like, it was like, it's okay to attain some worldly success. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to strive for it too. And Allah says, "Wala tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya." Don't forget your portion of dunya. You know what I mean? So that's okay. But a lot of times these athletes, at least in the moment, they don't have the other side to it, which is the deen or the spiritual or the attachment of akhirah to it. So it's deficient, you know what I mean? It's lacking in purpose, you know what I mean? So if we have the young kids looking up to them, I feel like the whatever they're chasing is always going to be short-lived. So I took it upon myself, like, yo, I do want to be that representation of, you know, being able to strive in dunya and then having a mission and a purpose attached to it. You know, giving back to the community, giving charity, you know what I'm saying? Having events, or just giving away free things, or educating and teaching people through your platform. You see what I'm saying? And then showing them also like a little bit of fun too. So like just a balance. I mean, so they're like, okay, we can attain a little bit of dunya, and then we can, but the bigger goal is Jannah and having an impact on people in dunya. So I really do take that as a responsibility, and we want to be that representation, man.
Exactly. And I see that 100%. You surround yourself with those guys too, man. I see you taking pictures with, you know, Muhtar Beal, Suleiman Jenkins, like all those guys. Yeah. That's that circle, man. Like, it's not just about entrepreneurship. It's about the connections you make too. And those guys are like, man, so much to learn from these dudes. And it's just,
those are the people that we try, like, that's like, those are the people we need to look up to. You see what I'm saying? Because these are people who were in certain circles before, like Loon, Amir, you mentioned Mubah. Those are the people who, you know, like they have the experience and the credibility to be like, yo, I've been there, I've done that. And this is what Allah guided me to. This is what you should be chasing. You see what I'm saying? So it's basically giving those people a platform or shining light on those people, so the young people can be like, oh, like, man, that's true success. Being a married man with a family and a halal business, that's true success. Making your salat on time, 5 daily prayers, that's success. You know what I'm saying? Not in other places, not with a bunch of, you know, different type of women. That's, you know, nah.
That's not it.
Yeah.
It's not it. Man, that's real talk right there. Hey, I learned so much. You're spitting game to the youth as well. Like, this right here is such complete advice, man. Such complete advice. It takes care of everything. It takes care of your mind, your spirit, you know, like how much work you got to put in your body. Like, this advice right here, I really appreciate this, man.
Absolutely, bro. I appreciate the opportunity, man, to even have this conversation, you know. I like what you're doing, man. Just keep pushing, man. Keep pushing.
I will, man. Hey, I'm going to look up to you, and I'm going to look up to you. Got that inspiration right there. It's like, we're going to get to where he is right now.
Huh? Inshallah,
but that's it for you guys today. You're going to be sticking by with me just for like a couple of minutes after the podcast ends.
No problem.
And hey, I hope you guys learned a lot. this is a guy right here. Follow him on Anique Apparel on Instagram. You know, buy some of his stuff so you could show off a little bit during Ramadan. Yeah, get vaccinated, then show off a little bit with that Anique Apparel. All right, guys. Asalaamu Alaikum.
Alaikum Salaam.